Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and your host, Ken Johnston. Unfortunately, Father McKay is under the weather today, so I'll be here by my lonesome for the next hour. I'll be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by two different guests. But until then, it's me. So hopefully we'll get your phone calls. But in this new year, we certainly have plenty to talk about. And speaking of the new year, I want to wish everyone a happy, holy, and healthy 2025. The year's already off to a fast start, whether you look at our church, the country, politics, whatever it is. There's no lack of news and things to talk about. So we'll get into a lot of that today, both in the 4 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Susan Tassone, who was here back in November and got an email from her last week asking if I had some time for her to come back. We want to talk about this Jubilee year that we've entered and some of the more important facets of it. So we'll be talking a lot about that from 5 to 5:30. Anyway, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. I've kept us on the air for over 40 years, and, you know, it's just great to be here. I'm not starting a new year, per se, here on the radio. That'll actually happen in March, I think, is the anniversary of Father and I doing the show, and I think this may actually be the 9th or 10th anniversary of that first show. I think it's the 10th. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years that we've been going through the liturgical calendar and talking about the saints and many other things in the life of the church. But we could not do that without your support. So from the bottom of my heart, and certainly from Father McKay and Kathleen and everybody here at In His Sign, we want to thank you for all that you do in order to allow this to happen. Especially for the folks that we don't even know that are listening. It always fascinates me once in a while that we'll get somebody that calls in that just happened to stumble on us on the AM dial, and that we can make an impact on people's lives, especially in these tumultuous times here on planet Earth with all the things that are going on. Unfortunate circumstances around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day with New Orleans and Las Vegas, and just the craziness continues. And until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ decides that he's going to pay us a visit, we need to hold out hope. And that's what this Jubilee year is going to be about. We'll talk about it. I'll talk about it a little bit in this 4 o'clock hour, but we'll quite a bit in the 5 o'clock hour. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, Our House Ministries. That's all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. I'd also invite you to check out my Substack account at notsaintsyet.substack.com each Thursday. Usually by noon, I'll post the recordings of the broadcast here today, as well as the highlights, and provide links to where you can get more information about guests and what have you. So, again, that's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the Church of St. Gabriel at 29th and Dickinson is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That'll continue in 2025. It's open from around 9 o'clock in the morning following 8:30 daily Mass until roughly 4 o'clock. On Tuesdays, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 3 to 4 that is completed with a Matt Talbot Novena Prayers and Benediction. And then on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, a group gathers back by the shrine and prays the rosary. If you're going to make the trip down to South Philly, be sure to get in touch with me And Father McKay and I can make arrangements to meet you over in the church, give you a little tour of the Cathedral of South Philadelphia, also known as St. Gabriel's Church. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot. I was here for one day after we got back from Ireland the week of December 8th, where we completed almost all the filming. Bill Rose and Dan Tarrant, our cinematographer, may have a little bit more filming to do, but Bill's now in the process of editing all that film and to put it together into a film making up the life of Matt Talbot. It will be a docudrama, I guess you would call it, where we interview a number of people that are familiar with Matt Talbot. And then we took an actor with us to Dublin, where we reenacted some of the more important scenes from Matt Talbot's life. And just really looking forward to seeing how Bill cobbles all that together and makes a film. And we watched some of it the nights after we were done recording. And, you know, I can imagine how Bill's doing it with, you know, cutting and pasting and putting this stuff together. But I was thinking, with all the hours of film that they have and using two cameras, of what it must have been like a number of years ago when they actually had it on film and had to sit there and splice the film and put it together and trying to get it to run smoothly from one scene to the next. Also understand why there may have been so many takes, because, you know, if you wanted to avoid having to splice, then you had to get it as much of a scene together in one continuous film. And whereas we could, you know, redo things over and over again, starting at different points. And, you know, Bill will be able to get all of that together. But it's all going to culminate this first week in June. We're headed back to Ireland for a pilgrimage that's going to take place June 1st to June 9th. I'm still waiting on my friends in Ireland for the final details, which I'm told is they're just waiting on the cost, the airline fares, in order to put together the total cost. But I will continue to bother them every other day until I get those details. A number of you have reached out already and shown interest. And again, I'd ask you, if you are interested in going, to reach out to me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. And as soon as I get the details, I will forward them to you. I think the initial head count that they were looking for is 40. I think that's what would fit on a bus. We're going to start in Knock in the west of Ireland and head east and culminate with 3 days in Dublin, where we'll celebrate the 100th anniversary of Matt Talbot's passing on June 7th, 1925. And really should be a great week over there in Ireland. I only have really one announcement of what's coming up. We'll talk about the Calyx meetings after we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. But the Knights of Immaculata, they meet at Malvern on the second Thursday of each month, and that'll be tomorrow, January the 9th. They start at 7 o'clock with rosary and a talk, usually something based on the writings of Maximilian Kolbe, and that'll be followed by Mass. I'd ask you to keep Father McKay in your prayers. He is under the weather. He's already canceled Mass for us tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and I don't think he's going to be making it to Malvern tomorrow night. But Father Simeon Gallagher is on hand and will be able to offer Mass tomorrow night. So, again, that's the Knights of Immaculata, the second Thursday of each month. So let's begin with prayer, and we'll start with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. And may the divine assistance remain always with us, and may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. If you don't call in, you're going to have to listen to me drone on for the next 50 minutes. So think about giving us a shout. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break in the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with me and our listeners, by all means, give us a call. And we'll give out those phone numbers again before we go to the break. In the liturgical calendar, we're currently in what's called the week after Epiphany. And we'll get up to the Lord's baptism on this coming Sunday and then return to ordinary time for a few weeks before we hit Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season, which is late this year. I think it's actually March 1st or somewhere around there when we'll get into Lent this year. So in the meantime, we'll continue to talk about the important feasts in the calendar. This week on Sunday the 5th, of course, we celebrated the Feast of Epiphany, but it's also the Feast of St. John Neumann, Bishop, and well-known here in the Philadelphia area. On Monday the 6th, it was St. André Bessette, religious. Tuesday the 7th, yesterday, was St. Raymond of Penafort, priest. And Wednesday, I adjusted it before I put it here. I had Baptism of the Lord, but that was last year. That we'll actually celebrate that this coming Sunday. So one of the more popular saints would have been St. John Neumann, but I am working on some guests in the month of February, and I'm hoping to make the month to talk about the shrines in Philadelphia. I've already lined up Father George Kettleberger from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown. He'll be with us on February 5th. I've got Father Bob Gassetto from the St. Rita Shrine will be with us on February the 12th, and I'm trying to get someone from St. John Neumann Shrine for February 19th or the first week in March, and whichever one they can't do, we're going to get Mary B. D'Amico to come on and join us to talk about our Carlo Acutis Shrine. And so February is going to be a fun month. And so I'm going to leave St. John Neumann until then. And what I thought we could talk about today was the Feast of Epiphany. And we talked about it a little bit last night, our Calyx meeting. And whenever I hear about Epiphany now, I immediately think of Raymond Arroyo. And Raymond had written a book back in 2022 about the wise men. And I was blessed to be able to interview him when the book came out, and got a couple of copies for my grandkids, and actually still keep a copy for myself. That's how interesting it is. And just a couple of things around Epiphany. I happened to look up the official definition, if you will, and I guess by official I'm talking about Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And in addition to the ones that, you know, might come as a result of the Catholic faith or the Christian faith, the definition, an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. And then the other, a usual sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. And, you know, that's what we celebrated on Sunday with the Epiphany of our Lord, that, you know, it was when the Magi made their way to Bethlehem to find the Christ child, to find the king, that in doing that, that's where it was manifested to the world, to us, to people other than the angels and the shepherds who were already made known of his birth. And Raymond Arroyo went to great lengths to try and figure out where the Magi had come from. They were not kings. They were probably sent by a king. He believed that they would come from a land called Nabatea. And if I'm not mistaken, Nabatea was also where Melchizedek was from. And they were probably Zoroastrians and had their own faith, their own belief in some power, in 12-step lingo, a power greater than themselves, but of someone that was out there that had managed to create the world and actually ruled over everything. And so the Magi, these wise men, in the area that they had lived would have been familiar with a number of religions. It was apparently a pivotal spot in the Middle East where, you know, they had their own gold mines and access to frankincense and myrrh, but was also along the trading routes. And so because of that, they would have known of the Greeks and their religion. They would have known of the Jews and Jewish prophecies. And these wise men may have been able to combine a number of these things, but knew that, you know, because they were in a habit of looking for signs and knew of the prophecies, that when all of a sudden that star shone in the sky, and whether it was an individual star, Raymond, you know, points to the fact, and it was even interesting. We were up the mountains last week, and it's a lot darker up there than it is, you know, here near the city. And so the stars just stand out. When we go outside of our place up there, we're at the very top of one of the highest. It's the highest mountain in Pike County, I believe, and on a clear night, the stars are just unbelievable. But we were out on Sunday night when we were up there, and it was actually the Feast of the Epiphany. When we went up to Bethel Woods, which is where Woodstock was held back in the 60s, and they do a great Christmas light display. And I had taken my daughter and the grandkids there last year, and my wife was under the weather when we went, so she didn't make the trip. So it was just her and I this year, and we went up, and we're driving back, and there was just this really, really bright light in the sky. And I have an app on my phone, Skyview Light, I think it's called. And if you hold that up to the sky, it doesn't actually look at the sky, but based on the position of the phone, it'll tell you, you know, what constellations, stars, planets that you're seeing. And so just like it would have been 2,000 years ago, Jupiter and Venus were as bright as all get out. And Saturn was also in the mix. And apparently all three of them would appear in the constellation of Aries. And so the Magi may have seen the combination of these bright planets and the moon in that constellation, and that would have maybe signaled to them that something important was happening. And they would have gone to the king to let him know. And you know, because they were the hub for the trade routes and they had their own items of trade, it was King Herod that actually owned the main port there where those items could be sent by ship, you know, around the known world at the time, across the Mediterranean to what is today Europe and what have you. And so the king of Nabatea would have had to have had a relationship with King Herod, who would have been responsible for the area that owned the port. And so when he learned of this potential new king, he would have wanted to send his men to King Herod to find out who it was and to pay this king homage, because he would have a future relationship with him. And So they head to King Herod, and it was news to him that there was going to be a new king. And Raymond points out in his book and in the explanation that King Herod was a jealous guy, an envious guy, a lot of fear that somebody would dethrone him, so much so that he would have his own sons killed. And so when he got word that these three guys show up and mention that there's this new king of Jerusalem, the new king of the Jews, you can imagine how upset that would have made Herod. And obviously most of us know the story. You know, Herod would grab his priest to find out where the king would be born. And of course the prophecy was that it would happen in Bethlehem. And so Herod sends them on to Bethlehem and asks them to be sure to come back and let me know once you find him so that he can go pay him homage. And fortunately for us, the angels of course appeared to the Magi after they meet, this new king, and angel tells them to go back by another route and not go back to Herod. And obviously Herod knew that, you know, something was up when they never came back. He sends his own men to go to Bethlehem and kill every child under the age of two. So it really tells you how insane this guy was, how much he needed to hold on to his power. And, you know, we celebrate the Holy Innocents in the coming week or so. And as a direct result of Herod's fear. And so the Magi, you know, make the trip, and then they go back by a separate route. In his children's book, Raymond Arroyo says that the three of them actually went their separate ways, that they didn't stay together. They were so touched by having met this new king. Melchior was actually experienced a healing, and they went on to do their own work as prophets, as people that would tell the rest of the world, anybody that they met, about this new king of the Jews. And so, you know, that's the historical part of Epiphany, as Arroyo points out. We really didn't have names for the Magi until about 100 years after the doctors of the church, Venerable St. Bede, and another, I think it was Justin Martyr, were the first to actually mention the Magi. And it was Venerable Bede that gave them the names of Melchior, Balthazar, and Arroyo has it as Caspar. And I had always heard in the past that it was Gaspar, G-A-S-P-A-R. And whenever I see that name, there's only one person on this planet that I knew that had that name, Gaspar, and that was Father Gennardi, who I had the privilege to spend some time with back in the late 90s, I think, or early 2000s, as part of a Curcio group that I was a part of at the time. And getting to know him, it was interesting. He obviously named for one of the three kings. The Magi was also referred to as kings. And apparently he would receive gifts that of portrayals of the Magi or the kings. And people, his friends, I guess, would travel. And if they, different countries they would go to, they would see different representations, would purchase them and bring them back to the Father Gennardi. And at St. Cosmas and Damian there in Conshohocken, I believe it was his sisters that would come around Christmas time, and they would rotate each year the displays of the three kings. And I was blessed to be there a couple of times to see them. And it really was incredible how the different cultures would put them together and the materials that were used and how they were portrayed. I think there was, I remember one set being made out of like carved up Coca-Cola cans. The Asian ones with an Asian twist on them. It was really, really impressive But he was the only person I ever knew that had the name Gaspar. And it was always a treat to go over to St. Cosmas and Damien to see them. But, you know, the flip side of the Epiphany and, you know, is just the word itself. And, of course, we celebrate it in our Catholic faith, and it really has a lot of meaning because, it's like I said, it's where we get to know that the King of the Jews was born and, you know, was born as Jesus Christ to Mary and Joseph. And, you know, it would be a number of years after that until he would really make himself known to the world. But this was the initial introduction, if you would, of Jesus to us. And so it was an epiphany, a manifestation. God let us know that he had entered into creation. But after we come back to the break, depending on the phone calls, I want to talk a little bit about the epiphanies that go on in our daily lives. And, you know, many of them may be smaller in nature, but many of us have experienced, you know, great epiphanies in our life. I got at least one Odd or God story to share about an epiphany. I didn't have it. A friend of mine had it last week. But, you know, maybe there's an epiphany that you had in your own life where God manifested himself to you in some way or some dramatic event that caused a change in your life, and you consider that to be an epiphany. And in order to share them with us, though, you got to give us a call. I'll give out the phone numbers again. That's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Again, you know, we've had some people that have called in for the first time in December, and you know, when you do call in, it's no different than you and I having a conversation on the phone. We just don't know, you know, how many hundreds or thousands of other people are out there eavesdropping on our conversation. So, if you've never called in, maybe today's the day, especially if you've had a recent epiphany, a recent happening where all of a sudden you were made aware of God's presence, either in general or especially in your own life, because I think these happen more frequently than we talk about. And yeah, obviously God wants to express himself to us very often. In the 5:30 segment today, we've got a gentleman coming on who wrote a book about prayer. And we're going to talk about the book and prayer. And as St. Paul says, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. And it's oftentimes in those prayers that, you know, God can reveal himself to us. But again, he does it in his own way, in his own time, and in all sorts of places. You know, the biggest epiphany I probably had in my life was on a retreat back in 1993. Out of the Malvern Retreat House when I woke up on that Sunday morning and realized that, you know, I was not on that retreat by mistake, that I that it was by God's design that I was there, and he made himself known to me over the course of that weekend, especially through the other 300 men that were there and were witnesses to me of their faith and their belief, which gave me the courage and the hope to an understanding that, you know, God was real and that he was trying to be a part of my life. And it was that major epiphany in my life that was completely life-changing and set me on the course that I continue to run with today, and always changing as we grow in faith, as we grow in our relationship with God, just like we grow in any relationship with other humans. Those relationships usually don't stay the same forever. They often change in the way we communicate, the things that we talk about, the way that we interact. So it is with our spiritual life and our relationship with God. That certainly the relationship I have today and the way God and I talk is not the same as it was when I made that retreat back in 93. And it definitely won't be the same again this time next year. So, but we'll talk more about that in the next segment. We've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. Again, the numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. As the spots mentioned each week, we can't do this without you, and because you of your great support, we're able to be here week in and week out, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here Eastern Time, and then provide the great programming like today's. Just want to give you a quick rundown on the Calix Society, especially here in Philadelphia. Calix is an organization for Catholics that are in 12-step groups, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. And just a great organization. We've got a number of groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We also have at least one online meeting a day, usually two or three. And so if you or someone you know are in a 12-step group and you haven't connected with us yet, maybe 2025 is the time to do that. You get together with like-minded folks that are in recovery and wanting to go closer to our Lord through the Catholic Church and the sacraments, this is the year. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We begin at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass and then a Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. Our next meeting will be, the next third Tuesday meeting will be on January the 21st. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7. We usually have at least two, sometimes as many as four priests on hand to hear confession. And then we pray some Matt Talbot prayers before Mass, which will begin at 7 o'clock. Again, that third Tuesday is January 21st, and everybody's welcome to that. We pray for all those that are in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and their family members. And it's usually the family members who struggle as much as, if not more than, the addict himself. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. They met last Thursday, so their next meeting will be next Thursday, January the 16th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting, and we will be meeting on January the 18th. Now, the unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by a meeting, and the third Sunday in January will be the 19th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, January the 25th. If you ever have any questions about Calyx or really about anything else, feel free to shoot me an email at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken at inhissign.com. Be more than happy to answer any questions that I can answer. And if I don't have the answers, I'll certainly seek them out and try to get them for you. All right, phone numbers. We've got Frank on the line and one open line. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. Then we'll go to Frank. Hello, Frank. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friends.
How are you, brother?
I tell you what, Ken. I got one bad news and two good news. I'll tell you the two good news, okay?
Okay.
Star Doug with him?
Nope. He's sick.
Everybody?
Yep.
I heard him. Oh, well. Yeah. You better tell him to go on later on then. The good news is I'm still sober. The other good news is and I got an atheist to become Catholic. You know why?
Why?
He said, this atheist thing has no holidays. I hate it.
Yeah.
Is that old one? Is that an old one?
Nope.
I heard it this morning. I forget we're in a radio. I never heard
I haven't heard that before. Poor excuse to become Catholic, though, just for the holidays. There's probably something out there that's got more holidays than we do. But
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. If you had none, one's a lot, though.
Yeah, right. Right, right. Exactly. So everything else is good, pal?
Other stuff, man. My regular problems, real bad. Monday was really, really bad. Felt like I wish I wasn't here no more.
Yeah.
I didn't think about drinking or anything. Just was one thing after another. I had that neuropathy. I'm not diabetic. I don't have pins and needles. My neuropathy, muscles are tight, stiff, heavy, weak in them.
Gotcha.
Every once in a while, I get burning sensation in my feet. It's very uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, that day, woke me up 2:30 in the morning. It's going up to my calf. I never went up my leg before. That means it's getting worse, that's all.
Mm.
I'd say my neighbor took me to my chiropractor. In the afternoon, I said, what's it? Is the sky gray or getting ready to snow? No, Frank, it's real sunny. It's bright sunny. All I saw was pitch dark. It was a real bad eye day.
Oh,
and just,
man.
I hate it when it's like that.
Yeah.
The best I have anyway is some light, but I hate when I don't see anything, just all dark.
Gotcha. Well, brother, you're definitely in a better spot than you were when I first got to know you, and you're always in our prayers, I assure you of that, and We see Captain Lou's brother on a regular basis, and he always asks for you now, Nick. And
Oh, guess what? I called the Pink Sisters on Monday. No, Sunday. I forget what day. Left two messages. I didn't know they called back with a message. I talked to Mikey, her name was. The secretary gave me a call. I talked to her. I dropped some prayer requests for different people.
Very good.
I heard of them, but I didn't know they took prayer requests. I never knew that.
Yeah, well, that's the Perpetual Sisters. I forget the exact name.
But Adoration Holy, or something?
Yeah, Adoration and the Holy Spirit. And so that's their charism. They have one of the sisters in front of the Blessed Sacrament 24/7. And so it is. It's a great opportunity. Unfortunately, the Carmelites aren't here anymore. They used to be great at taking our prayer requests and praying for them.
But Ken, you said I'm better off now than when I first started listening to you guys. No, I'm not. You said I'm in a better place. No, I'm not. I could be in heaven. That's where I want to be.
Yeah, well,
life down here stinks.
Yeah, well, we'll all get there sooner or later, hopefully. But no, when I say that, Frank, I mean, when we first started talking and it was always dark and you were always depressed. And now even, you know, for you to call in and say, hey, I got two pieces of good news. I remember a time where there was no good news. And so God's keeping you around for some reason. We may not know it yet.
Yeah, but call in and give you my great jokes.
There you go. There you go. If nothing else, right?
But good thing you have that dump button or you dump me real quick.
Yeah, nah, all good, brother. And
thanks,
always,
Ken.
Always good to hear from you. I wish you all the best.
Is your wife still at St. Matt's?
She's still there, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know if she was just filling in and helped out like for a short period of time, or if she's always
working. She'll be there till at least the end of the school year, and I think she's going back next year. So,
tell her I said hi. Okay.
Will do. All right,
thanks,
Frank.
Ken.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, brother. Be good. God bless you. All right. All the phone lines are clear. If you want to call in with an odd or God or anything else, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. I shared about an odd or God last night that really involves somebody else's epiphany. And many of us that have struggled in the past with addiction, if we end up in recovery, it's usually because we have that epiphany. We accept God's grace, usually not the first time that he sent it. A lot of times he's had grace after grace after grace that he was trying to send to us that we didn't recognize or rejected. But sooner or later, we're almost forced to accept that grace and change our lives. And it happened for a good friend of mine last week. I got a phone call that he had caused some issues with family as a result of some alcohol consumption. And, woke up the next day and realized, what the cause of the particular incident was the alcohol. We all know that alcohol, if you've been listening long enough, alcohol is only a symptom of the problem. It's usually something deeper than that that drives us to drink, literally. And so we need to take care of those other things so that we don't feel the need to turn to alcohol or drugs or shopping or pornography or whatever it is that we turn to in order to get a little bit of relief. That happened for my friend last week, and I've known him for over 30 years now. And he called me and told me what was going on. And, because of what God has done in my life, I have an opportunity to share with others, what that was and how it worked for me. And, it's not going to work exactly the same for everybody. What worked for me may not work exactly the same way for somebody else, but there's a sequence of events and things to try until you find your own way in this world, and especially in the recovery world. And so We chatted for a while, and he ended up making a 12-step meeting that night, and he calls me the next morning, and this is where the Otter God comes in. He gave me a call the next morning and, you know, told me that he was, you know, 24 hours removed. They'd gotten his 24-hour chip at the meeting and was looking to make a meeting that day. And I no sooner hung up the phone with him than I get a phone call from another sober friend of mine. And he was within about a 20-minute ride of the newly sober guy, where normally if he was at home, it would have been more like an hour and 20 minutes. And I was telling him the story of what had happened. And just because, and sometimes people don't realize this, especially when they're in recovery or need to be, and they reach out to somebody, you know, how important it is to the person that is trying to help them. Because it really, there's a number of things that happen. It allows us to be of service. It gives us a chance to reflect on, you know, those early days in our own sobriety when we first started, you know, going to meetings and talking to people. And we can try to tell people what worked for us and what didn't, things to try and things to avoid and what have you. And so it you know, a lot of times the person that makes the initial call thinks that, you know, they're being a burden to the person that they're calling. And it's not a burden at all. It's a gift. It truly is a gift, because when you, at least for me, when I hung up that phone after the pretty lengthy conversation, I just realized how great a gift I had received. And to hear that things haven't changed out there, that when we, you know, consume alcohol, do drugs, and whatever else it is that we may do and cause problems for others, that that hasn't gone away, and it keeps it green for me, if you will, that what's waiting for me if I decide that I no longer want to live a sober life. But anyway, this sober friend was in proximity of the newly sober friend, and so I passed the phone number on of the sober friend, and the newly sober guy called him right away. And next thing you know, I'm getting messages that they're going to meet, chat for a while, go to a meeting. They went out to lunch, and you know, it was Otter God that the sober friend was in that proximity, that they were both going to end up being in the same area not too later that day. And you know, God just had all that coordinated without me having to do anything. And it's when we sit back with sober eyes, and not just necessarily sober from alcohol, but just in a general sobriety, where we're not being affected by anything. And sometimes people need to experience sobriety or serenity or peace and quiet, whatever you want to put on it, to realize that what God has done in our lives and is doing at the present moment. And that's usually the hardest time to see it, is right in the moment when it's occurring. But that's the only place God ever is. He's never in the past. He's never in the future. He's always right in the moment. And so after these guys had gotten together, and I'm just sitting back thinking about how not only did God know before I woke up that morning that was going to happen, but he knew thousands of years ago that this is how that's going to play out. And for some people, that can be hard to fathom and even hard to stomach. Why do people have to go through what they go through if God already knows what the potential outcome is going to be? And, you know, I know today that, again, and we've talked about this a number of times since reading Dan Burke's book, Finding Peace in the Storm, and talking about God's will, that either God wills it to happen or he allows it to happen so that it'll bring about a greater good. And sometimes, for you know, the only way for us to turn to God is to go down the scale far enough to realize that we can no longer live this life on our own, that the only way that we're going to you know, survive mentally. The only way to avoid insanity, and it doesn't just have to be, you know, something that we're addicted to. It can be just life in general. And, you know, that the only way to get through that is through a relationship with God. And, you know, it reminds me, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about it when Susan Tassone calls in a few minutes here, but the church in all its wisdom, again, has designated 2025 as a Jubilee year, and it's for Pilgrims of Hope. And that, brothers and sisters, as Catholics, as Christians, is what we need to be. We can't be Debbie Downers and Karens or whatever, and there should probably be a male name, and there's probably one out there. It's not just women. I apologize for that. But, you know, that we should be pilgrims of hope, that we should be able to bring hope to anyone and everyone because we have our own hope. And, you know, the if Father McKay were here, he'd probably say, you know, and that hope isn't like pie in the sky. It's a hope that's based on our faith. It's based on Scripture. It's based on what Jesus himself told us, that he will always be there, that we can always turn to him, that his grace is abundant, you know, that all the gifts that we need to get through this life are ours for the taking. We just need to ask for them. We need to ask for that grace. And so hopefully we've been doing that, and because of that, we have this real Christian hope, and that we aren't afraid to share that hope with other people. And so much of what we see going on in the world today, and I am not a news watcher, I'll tell you. There's actually one show that my wife and I record that we watch together on a regular basis, and it comes on right before the news. And so we always get like the first 30 to 60 seconds of the news that's tagged on to the end of that. And that's about all I get of formal news watching. And there's never anything good. Every once in a while, there's something on there that might be good. But there's certainly nothing that's going to bring you any hope. If you spend all day watching the news and listening to the talking heads, it's no wonder why the world's in the situation that it's in, you know, doom and gloom, and, you know, how many people got killed yesterday and how many people are, you know, having a rough time of it, and the issues with addiction and everything else that's going on. It can be really, really hard to find hope in that. And to think that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. And I've been there. I know what it's like to live that life, and to think that that light is a train headed your way. And there were times where I was hoping that there was actually the physical train, and that was going to be the day that it ran me over. And fortunately, God saw otherwise, and eventually, you know, I was given the hope from others that shared their hope, because they had experienced God in their own lives. They're able to pass that hope along to me, that, you know, if God wanted to do it for them, maybe he wants to do it for me also. And that's the kind of hope that we need to be sharing with anyone and everyone that'll listen to us. You know, we don't have to browbeat them, hit them over the head, pass out Bibles or anything, but just share with people what God has done in your life, and, you know, let them know that maybe God wants to do it in their life. But in order to do that, we have to open our hearts, our souls, our minds to the grace that is needed in order to receive that hope, have that hope. And if we shut ourselves off from God's grace, it's going to be really, really hard to get there and to experience that hope. Because in the end, everything that this world has to offer us that doesn't come from God is fleeting. It may bring us temporary happiness. It may actually bring you temporary ecstasy, but it's all fleeting. It's going to come and it's going to go. The only true joy that remains is through that relationship with God and through his grace. Because then he lets us know that there is another way to live, that we're not children or citizens of this world, that we're citizens of heaven already. You know, the kingdom has already come, you know, on a daily basis. We need to make a decision whether we're going to live in the kingdom or live in the world. And there's that constant tug of war. I think of that when I was a little kid, I went to see the Dr. Doolittle movie, and I think it was a two-headed llama, right, that they called the Push Me, Pull You. And, you know, on any given day, where I'm up on that llama and, you know, getting pulled by the world, getting pulled by God, maybe even getting pulled in other directions. And you need to stay, you know, centered, focused on what's really important. And that is God. That is His ways, not my ways, not the ways of the world. That, you know, if I want to experience true joy, you know, I know where to find it now. I find it in God, and I find it in His people. And just in the final closing minutes here of this hour, I've been blessed recently to spend some time with the Brothers of Charity over there in Lavrock, Glenside. And at Trieste Hall, they have a home for a number of men that struggle with struggle intellectually. Whether it's Down syndrome or other particular issues that they may be dealing with. And I've gotten to know quite a few of the residents recently, and, you know, and talking to the brothers when I'm there. And a conversation I had the other night, you know, we were talking about, we were actually talking about addiction and recovery and living in the moment. And it was in that conversation that you realize that, you know, people that are intellectually challenged, and our brothers and sisters that are born with Down syndrome, they're always living in the moment. They're usually not worried about what happened yesterday. They're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're the biggest concerns, you know, might be, you know, what they're going to have for their next meal, which is never more than a couple hours away, you know, where they might have to go. But for the most part, it's like, what am I doing right now? And, what should I be doing right now? And even in the conversation with Brother Mike, he said to me, even when they get angry, it's never more for more than a couple of minutes. And folks, I know people that walk around this planet that are angry all the time. I mean, there's certain TV shows you turn on and it's nothing but angry people. And they want the whole world to be as angry as they are. And you know what? If you've got God in your life, there's very little reason to be angry. You know, sure, you're going to get upset and bad things can happen. And you may have to deal with some things. But we don't have to live there. And so many people today that I come across, they live there pretty much full time. And I'm so blessed. I walk away with those conversations. I try to share a little bit of hope. And if they get it, that's great. But if they don't, I still have it. I still have that hope. And I'm not worried about the same things that they are, because they're going to change. Somehow or other, God's going to right the ship. And usually without any of my input other than prayer and asking Him to do it. And I think for 2025, as jubilarians in this Jubilee year of hope, that should be our prayer. That, you know, God, whatever it is that you will for me, for my family, for my community, for the church, to let it be done and allow me to do whatever it is that you need me to do in order to bring it about. And I just think, imagine a whole world waking up every morning and saying that same prayer. You know, God, what is it that you, what is your will for the world, and what is it that you need me to do in particular in order to help bring that about? If we all did that, the world will be a lot different place. And so I thank God for this year of hope. It should be a constant reminder to each of us every day that we are, that we should be a people that are filled with hope and willing to share it with others. With that, it brings us to the top of the hour, and we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we should have Susan Tassone with us talking about the Jubilee year and its importance and some of the benefits that each of us can get from it. So don't go away. We'll be right back.